Busy city life makes it hard to think about and work at integrating our faith with our lives. Welcome to the Cathedral Podcast, produced and hosted by Jenny Ho Huan. Each episode, we want to help you relate core Christian truths to your daily life. Whether it's science, philosophy, cultural trends, or life stories, we bring you authentic and unrehearsed conversations to spark insight and strengthen your faith and your life.
Hello everyone, Jenny here, and I'm very glad today to have with me Aaron and Dominic. Aaron works at the NTUC, which is the National Trades Union Congress here in Singapore, looking after workers' welfare and benefits. And Dominic is a mom with two sons, a practicing family physician, and also chairperson of a special needs ministry in her church, Sengkang Methodist, where Aaron is a team member. So I'm very glad that they can be here with us today. We are going to talk about this ministry that got started in their church, how it got started, and why this ministry is so important for all of us in the body of Christ to think about. So let's get started. Dominic, why don't you tell us more about why you're called the ministry Ohana, which is a Hawaiian word?
So Ohana, the inspiration came from the Disney movie. What's that show? Lilo and Stitch.
Oh, yeah. Lilo and Stitch. Yes.
So in that movie, Stitch is that little alien that's kind of left behind and always forgotten. And so that's what really that word means, you know, that there are people amongst our midst who are sometimes left out. They are left behind, forgotten. And we want the church to embrace these individuals, you know, whether they are members of us with special needs or whether they are their caregivers. This is a group that in a lot of times when we do our planning, right, we don't think of them as a forethought. It's always an afterthought.
Right.
Yeah. So that's really the reason why.
Wow, that's a good one. So Aaron, what is your role in Ohana?
Well, basically I am, as you mentioned, a team member. I am a volunteer. So basically we run lessons every week. During the worship service, actually, the parents actually drop their children with special needs with us, and we actually run a class. And we try to actually deliver these Bible stories to these children with special needs. And of course, we also take care of them, look into their needs, so on and so forth. Yeah.
So you're saying that these children, when they come to church, they go to this program with you guys. Tell me more why you feel it's important to have this program separate from them, say, sitting in a worship service with their parents.
I guess the first reason is that for many parents with special needs children, they end up maybe not coming to church, not being able to attend the worship service. Or even if they are there, they cannot immerse themselves fully to receive God's word, right? Because they are so distracted with their child and attending to his or her needs. So in a sense, Ohana as a class, as a ministry, runs to provide a platform for these children to actually, for the parents first to have a peace of mind, and then for these children to have a platform to actually receive God's word and experience God's love.
Right, okay, fantastic. Dominic, since you started the ministry, tell us more.
I think it really started because, firstly, when my two children were with us in Sengkang, there was nowhere for me to drop them off. And the children ministry wasn't able to take them in because of their diagnosis and the needs that they had. It was difficult when the Sunday school side would say, oh, look, mommy, can you come in? Then what's the point? I go in and then I go with my kid to Sunday school and then he's running around or creating a havoc. And then at the end of it, I'm so tired and I didn't even attend service. And during that Sunday school, he wasn't with it as well.
Right. You know, so you're saying two things. Firstly, as a parent or caregiver, it's like repeating everything you do at home, but in a space which is even more unfamiliar to the child.
Yes.
And then therefore, the child is also uncomfortable with the space and not getting very much out of it.
Yes.
And then as a result, you are exhausted and you're beginning to wonder, why do I bother to go to church?
Why do I bother to go to church? You're right. So in fact, that was really what happened. For a while, we had to say, look, we had to leave the church for a bit and say, it's not working out. So we went to a different church that had a special needs ministry running. And that was a place where we could drop off our kids
mm.
and for us to be able to attend service mm. and have like intelligent adult conversations and be involved in some kind of a church okay. life. And
but you chose to come back.
So
I mean, that sounds like, oh, that's
so that set me
having
thinking, you know, like
met,
why, yeah. why did God put us in Sengkang, me and my husband, mm. in the first mm. place, you know, and give us not just one child, but mm. two with ASD mm. In that community.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, besides the church itself, we also have a kindergarten platform.
Mm.
And so that was also at the same time where my younger boy, who has got more moderate autism, couldn't find a place to attend kindergarten. So that was really yeah. how the whole thing started. We started to engage with the church to talk about how can preschool support. And then on Sundays, how can ministry side also support not just the child, but also the family.
That's amazing. Yeah. Yeah, and Ohana is a lovely word. I think if I'm not wrong, it means village or something. So
no
like
one
an extended.
Is left behind.
Yeah,
it means
something
no
like
one
village.
Is left behind. So that's the yeah. idea that conveys a village, an extended
yes.
family, right?
Mm. Yes.
Yeah, because I have some friends who like, we are Ohana, and then they put on Facebook. You know? So I'm getting that's what it means. Now, Dominic, why don't you share with us a bit more of your own journey in terms of your faith? You've already mentioned some of the experiences you've had
yes.
in church. But what about your own personal faith in the Lord and how it has impacted or shaped your choices?
I mean, it's a long story. So mm. I'm just going to try to pick out some things. And my sons are already 11 and 12. So it's already more than a decade that we're mm. on this journey. I think in the beginning, when people found out that we have children with autism, it's always they always respond in a way that I don't quite know how to react to.
Mm.
They always tell me things like, oh, you're so poor thing. You have not just one, but two, you know, that kind of implication. Or else they'll be like, okay, I don't really know what to say because I'm scared I say the wrong thing. Or else they'll be like thinking, oh, okay, oh, but you're a doctor, right? So you should know how to manage them, you know, better than everyone else. So I think that was a period of time where I would, yeah. if I want to think about how to put it, it's really a time where faith and life collided for me because I've been in church since I was young.
Right.
You know, but I think things have always been quite okay.
Mm.
It's run smoothly until I became a parent. Right. And it really was that juncture where everything just kind of collided for me that I felt that really God is telling me, look, you cannot take everything within your control,
right.
you know, and it was a steep learning curve for me because even though I was a doctor, I wasn't very familiar with autism.
Yeah, it's you know? A very specialized field.
Yes, and I knew about it, but I didn't know what to do with it.
Mm.
There's no medicine I can give to treat
yes.
it.
Right.
There's nothing I can do to cure it. And as a practicing family physician, I really felt like, look, I'm a doctor, but I can do nothing to help my
wow,
son.
Wow, it's a very hard feeling because
yeah.
you, as a parent especially,
yes.
feeling so powerless
so
and out of control.
Is very helpless. And then my
so
older
hard.
Boy, when he was diagnosed, he was still not too bad. So I went for lots of lessons and lots of trainings. And after that, I was like thinking, okay, look, I'm equipped.
Mm.
You know, I have all these skills that I know and I have my medical knowledge to back me up, right? And then before I could really do very much, My older boy actually just picked up.
Mm.
He started to attend early intervention and then his skills just came in bit by bit.
Yeah, so he managed to go through, he
yes.
went through the mainstream school
yes.
and all that. Yep.
But my younger one, on the other hand, I thought, oh, look, I have all these skills I can apply on him and then nothing I do ever worked.
Oh,
you know?
Well, it takes people commonly say, each child is different to a whole new level for you, doesn't it?
Definitely.
Yeah.
So it was really God telling me, look, it's not really within your control. People can say you did very well with your older boy.
Mm.
You must be able to do okay with your younger one. But, you know,
ouch.
Things are just...
Mm.
Yeah, so
yeah, I can understand.
That really is the journey for me. I think even until today.
Mm.
Yeah.
So really, it brings home the fact that faith is something that is just putting one foot in front of the other, right? And just
yes.
trusting that God is working something out,
yes.
even though sometimes we just can't understand or
yes.
see it. Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, yeah. So, Aaron, I mean, Dominic... Of course, very much was led into this out of her own need. But what about you? How did you end up in Ohana?
I guess it was by accident. I was pretty new to the church and I was looking for somewhere where I could serve and contribute. And I guess along the way, it became my mission field.
Nice.
I never expected myself to be in this ministry really because I do not like I don't have a teaching background even. I don't have a preschool kind of background. And I thought that I'm generally quite an impatient person, so I don't know how I would deal with persons with special needs.
So how has it been?
But it has been quite amazing, I think. God has shaped me to be much more loving, to be much more patient and embracing. And one of the things I experienced is that, you know, we always have to consider ourselves, consider others before ourselves, right? And that's something as Christians we need to learn to do.
Wow. Yeah. So tell me what happens in a typical class. And what do you enjoy about it, Aaron?
On a good day, there's no chaos. No, but seriously, speaking...
But you know, order is not everything.
Yes.
Right, correct. That's what I learned too. That, you know, as someone who is trying to lead the class, I want to follow order, right? Mm. We sit down, we have some music, and then we have a lesson, and then we have some art and craft, and then we have a snack, right? But it doesn't always happen that way.
Right.
And we some of our students, they want to get out of the room, they want to walk around. So we learn to cope. And we learn to accept that, you know, they are different and they have their own way of learning and expressing themselves. And I need to bring myself to their level in that sense. I need to understand things from their perspective because, as we know, people with persons with autism, they do not react the same way in social situations, right?
Yeah.
And things that to you and I are very normal, they would react very adversely, even to things like loud noises or to touch. So these are things that we have to be aware about.
So in other words, you are describing to me that even though what you describe of your lesson sounds quite typical of most Sunday school classes, the music, the lesson, the snack and all that, but it's the way you actually carry it out with these kids.
Yeah.
That's very different. What are some key things that you guys have to keep reminding yourself each week? The do's and the not do's.
I think for me, it's to go slower
and
to, you know, make eye contact,
simple
strategies, right? But more importantly, remember that God loves this group of people and they are our sisters and brothers. And they too can experience faith. And I think we were just talking earlier before coming here today that when they worship, when they read verses, right, when they follow the Bible story, and they can actually articulate to you these verses and these songs, they actually mean every single word that they say.
Mm. Wow. So these are kids who really show us what it means to have no duplicity.
Yes.
Right. They just really mean what they say.
Right.
I think while it might be hard in terms of the lack of control, I get the sense that it's actually quite refreshing to be with these kids in a way. Because, you know, we live in a world where people kind of like, you know, give face and not that they're out to deceive, but there's so many social conventions that every day we have to put up with, you know.
Mm.
Yeah. But what about you, Dominic? How does it feel like for you, both as a parent and as leading the ministry?
Well, serving in the ministry, for a while, I mentioned that we left for a while. So I was actually serving in the ministry for maybe about close to 3 years before I brought my kids back from the other church. And it was really difficult sometimes. Because when you come in, you have to learn to take perspective from them. You know, a lot of times when you are the leader and you are the teacher in that group, you think that you are the director of everything, but actually you are not really the director, you know. So that's one thing, learning to switch your perspective.
Okay.
And I think the second thing is to remember that actually, even though we call them children, right? Many of them are not children anymore.
Grown-ups.
Right. Yeah, some of them are already in their 20s.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, some of them, even we had one lady who came and she's actually older than I am. She's in her mid-40s.
And you mix all the different age range.
So that was the oldest one.
Nice.
So we don't quite mix according to age, but we kind of mix by ability, functioning level, or ability or verbal level. Yeah, so it it's always reminding, you know, when we talk to each other, sometimes they say, hey, the children who are coming, they say, hey, actually, they're not children anymore.
Right.
You know, so it's about speaking and addressing them as people like you and me, you know, and they could be our peers, you know, at our age group as well. Yeah.
Yeah. I like what you shared earlier about when you are teaching and all that, and when you're a leader, right?
Mm.
Sometimes you're always like, just as mother knows best, the leader knows best kind of approach.
Yeah.
I think this is a very important thing for all of us who are in leadership and everybody who's teaching Sunday school, even to regular kids, to really put ourselves in the shoes of the kids.
Yeah.
I feel that Jesus does that really well. He always puts himself in the shoes of the people he encounters. Yeah, that's why he can adjust his message. That's why they feel understood by him. They feel accepted by him. And that's so key, right? But that is hard.
It's really, really not easy.
It's very hard to do.
Yeah. What has helped you all to do that, though? I mean, all these years. Is there some kind of like reminder? Do you like say this, I must remember to put the kids first before you go to class? Or do you feel like this is something, a value and a muscle that you train up in your life? What's your perspective on this?
I think it's something that doesn't just apply to special needs ministry.
Yes, exactly.
It's something that the church has to remember that we are the church, you know. So for Ohana Ministry, right, when we started, one of the gospel stories that we kind of referenced to and remind ourselves is the story where the four friends carried their friend who can't walk up the roof to reach Jesus because there was a huge crowd, right, and he can't get there. And the reminder for us is that these individuals that we serve in the ministry, there is no physical crowd that is blocking them, but there is a distance from them to where Jesus is in today's church, you know, from their perspective. It is up to us to say, look, we have to pick them up. We have to think creatively about how to get them to meet Jesus.
Yeah, and in the story, those four friends went to the roof and opened a hole in the roof.
Yes.
So that they can lower their friend down right in front of Jesus.
Yes, so it's a village, it's a group that comes together. So that's how we remind each other, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You know, that it's not just you're not responsible alone when you are leading that class.
Oh, that's also a very powerful thing to remember. It's a team.
It's a team effort.
You guys have to love them together. And the love that you share for these kids provides the safety that they need to be themselves and then therefore to explore their life and their faith and express it as well.
Mm.
That's amazing. So Dominic, Aaron, tell me, since Ohana started, how that has impacted Sengkang Methodist Church? What are your observations?
Me, Aaron.
Ah, okay. Well, initially, I mean, not many people knew about this ministry or not many people knew about special needs to begin with. And it, in a sense, we were operating kind of in a silo.
Right,
on our own, just a place to take care of these group of people. But over time, I think through deliberate effort as well and through conversations with the church leadership and with the pastoral team, that it has become a priority to make sure that we include persons with special needs across the various age groups, across the various congregations. And we see that there is a so-called paradigm shift.
Wow.
To you know, make sure that we always look out for those who are different from us, those who pick things up a little bit more slowly, those who have a little bit more special needs, for example.
So the whole church is learning to slow down.
In some sense,
that's what Paul talks about in Corinthians, that there are many different members of the body and we should look out for the weaker members.
Yes. Correct. And the narrative is that these people too are members of the body.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Wow, that's great. What about you? From your experience?
From my experience, I agree with him that in the beginning, it was really, we were all moving in silo. Mm. And it really started off just as a program. But as we went along, right, we realized that actually Ohana isn't really a program. The program happens incidentally, but it's about the shift in mindset that the entire church needs to have. We cannot just say that, oh, because we have an Ohana program, then these members with disabilities, we can just pull them out and park them there in a convenient parking lot. Mm. And then everybody can just forget about them. Mm. So with a program set up, that very easily happens.
That can easily happen, yes. Indeed. Yeah. Then everybody go on live as usual.
Yes.
And these people we're very not comfortable good. With can just be on
yes.
the
yes. Yeah. And in fact, then there was a period of time where I would say that everybody was like, oh, very happy. You know, we have Ohana. You know, we should just put them all there.
Mm.
You know, that everybody is happy. You are happy. I'm happy. You know, the service is happy. Everybody's happy. Yeah. But then it took us to then, okay, look, it's great that we have this program. We have to push everybody to step out of their comfort zones now. Mm. We have to be thinking a little bit higher level, because it's not just about the program that we need to have, but it's about how do we make sure members with different needs, you know, whether it is an intellectual disability, whether it's a physical disability, you know, or just different kinds of needs, how can we make sure they're not forgotten in the way we run church, in the way we do church today?
Yeah.
And of course, it's definitely not easy. I mean, for example, even among the youth, among the young adult, it's not easy for them to, you know, interact with someone who is a little bit different, because the tendency is always to bend among the people you can best communicate with.
We just click with our light. We just click. Light attracts light. And yeah. Yes.
But as I said, if we are truly to be God's people, then we ought to step out of our comfort zone. To love them intentionally, and it has to, and over time it should occur naturally.
So do you have some stories you can tell us of some young people, parents or adults in the church, or even the church leadership, that because they stepped out of their comfort zone and pushed a little bit, that you witness transformation either in the culture of the church or even in the specific lives of these people or the lives of the special folks that you have?
I think one thing that stood out to me a lot is in the way we run church camp. You know, church family camp is always...
Oh, a highlight, yes.
It's always a highlight of church life.
Or local churches in Singapore, yes.
Okay, it's always a highlight of church life. And we find that these families tend to be forgotten a lot of times.
Mm.
It's difficult for them to go because of all the medical issues that might possibly they need to think about.
Yeah.
So what we did... very intentionally from two camps ago was to say that, look, this element has to be considered in that organizing committee. So we deliberately said there needs to be a program that runs so that these people with special needs can attend and their caregivers can then be ministered to within the main camp programming. And during the recreational parts and all that, we have some of our members, we have one member who is paraplegic, right. You know, so he's in a wheelchair, and he's, since the incident, he's not gone into the swimming pool, you know, for obvious reasons, but what we did during the camp was that we got a bunch of young men, young adults, to come together to say, look, if we're going to have a swimming pool event, we want to include him as well.
Oh, wow.
So we had a bunch of people carry him down so that he can also splash around in the pool. Yeah. Sorry, it's not paraplegic. I think he's got some cerebral palsy.
Mm. Okay.
I can't remember exactly the condition. But
wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so neat. Yeah.
So that was something that... even that act of moving him from the wheelchair into the pool was something that took a lot of people to step out of their comfort zone.
Yes.
Because they're afraid. If I touch him, will I hurt him? If I carry him in this way, will he suddenly struggle? Because it's a swimming pool as well. Then if something goes wrong, what will, you know? There's a lot of fear. So we had to guide them. And,
right.
Different people had to come alongside to say, look, it's okay. And then we do it together. And it was really wonderful because this brother of ours, he really enjoyed the pool time. So the next camp that we had, which was just recently, we did it again. He really, really had a wonderful time.
Right? Wow, that's so nice.
Yeah. So that was one thing that really stuck out to me.
And it's true. I think a lot of people who struggle with disabilities or who are different, they will always feel like they just can't join everybody else. There's always a sense of being excluded. And it takes effort for us, I mean, to include them from meal times to activities like this. And it means so much to them.
Mm.
But the important thing is also, it in the end means so much to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing is that actually we forget that they want to be included as well. Mm. That they have emotions too, and they can feel.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Yeah.
And they want to be part of the community.
Yeah.
So it's whether we are willing to extend our reach to them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's so important for us as the church, because Galatians 2:28 tells us that there's no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, no longer male or female. I would also say no longer able, disabled, and able, whatever, you know. But everyone in Christ is whole in Christ.
Yes.
And we need to pursue that wholeness for each other and uphold that wholeness. Then we have a brilliant witness, right, to the world, because the world is all divide and conquer. Put people in boxes and manage it. But I think when we come to the body of Christ, when we come to the church, we want to be a place that we say a lot of the lines that the world imposes on us, we can erase slowly. But you're right also to mention that we can't be reckless about this.
Yes.
Like if you're managing someone who's different, you better learn how to do it properly so that you don't hurt the person.
Yeah, and you also assure the caregiver, you know, to say that, oh, okay, I can then let go and allow you to help me.
Mm.
And I think that's the concept of the village that we were talking about earlier. I think for the caregivers, it's always difficult to say, I'm just going to let go of my child, whether this person is an adult already, but it's somebody who has different needs, you know.
Yeah.
And say that, to allow, say, Aaron, you to come in and look after.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trusting Aaron with my kids, right?
Yeah, so that trust has to be built up.
Yes, yes.
And actually the fear that Dominic mentioned earlier about, you know, don't know how to approach the child, don't know whether to touch him or not, that kind of thing, which is exactly the same emotions or feelings that me, myself, as a volunteer, when I first started. That's how I would feel. So how should I even approach?
Yeah, and you had to learn.
And I had to learn, And if I can learn, then I believe other people can.
Absolutely. I think we all can learn. Mm. Just that maybe we are meant to be in the ministry, or maybe we're meant to support the ministry from outside, or to champion it in different ways.
Yes.
And I think it's made such a difference in your own stories and in your own life and in Sengkang. That's why you're here on the podcast, to share with us this.
Yes.
And I know you are very welcoming of people who want to approach you at Sengkang to hear your story and learn more of your experience.
Yes, definitely.
So we are really grateful that you came to talk to us today. And for those of you listening in, Sengkang Methodist Church and a couple of other churches have ministry to families with special children. Because in Singapore, it's something like 1 in 150 kids develop special needs and need special assistance at some point. So besides Sengkang Methodist Church, there is also St. Andrew's Cathedral, City Harvest Church, Telok Ayer Chinese Methodist Church, and the Chapel of Christ, our hope, at the St. Andrew's Autism Centre. Yeah. Any last words, Dominic, Aaron?
Well, I'm reminded of this verse, Matthew 25:48, that it says, you know, whatever you did for one of the least of my brothers and sisters, you did for me. And I just hope that as a church, we will continue to remember those who are the least, the last, the lost, and the least, you know.
Wow, thank you.
Yeah, and it's a work in progress. Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, for me, it's being reminded that when we invite in those who are lame, those who are disabled in, at the end, you will still have space for everybody else. And in everything that we do, if we go down to the lowest level, you know, you first meet the needs of those who are at the lowest level, then everybody else can adapt along. But if you pitch everything at the typical level, then there will always be people who are left out and left behind.
Wow. Okay, yeah. Those are powerful thoughts you left us with.
Yeah.
Going to the last, the least, and the lost, because Jesus said He is found in them. And I think we encounter Jesus when we open ourselves up to meet these people and minister to them. And pitching not to the higher level, because then people can't catch up.
Right.
Yeah. And I always think God is such a good God, so generous. That's why the gospel is so simple. You don't need to be highly intellectual. Yes. You don't need to be educated. You don't need to be rich. There's absolutely no qualifications when it comes to coming to God.
Right.
Yes.
So maybe, you know, what you just said, Dominic, is really a call to us to really rethink how we do church many times. That maybe we should just make it simpler.
Yes,
for everyone.
I agree.
That's right.
Thank you so much.
Thank
Dominic.
You.
Thank you.
God bless
you so much.
Thank you.
And your households.
Thank you for listening in. We hope you've been encouraged with some new thoughts on faith and life integration. You can find us on the Cathedral app, iTunes, Spotify, or at cathedral.org.sg/podcast. Be sure to join us again.